Okay. So we are live streaming on Facebook. Welcome everybody thank you for coming. This is Taco Tuesday, our weekly Zoom group here at the Krishna House, where we discuss spiritual topics meant to help us navigate through the world that we find ourselves in a way that is uplifting, not only to ourselves, but also for those around us. So today is a very special day in the Hare Krishna community. It is the appearance of the Lord in one of his amazing forms. And so to celebrate this special day, we've asked a very special guest to come and speak about some of the lessons of his activities while he was here. It's said that the Supreme Lord God himself comes to the material world to perform different activities for specific purposes, generally to reestablish goodness in the world. And so there is many things we can learn from how he acts. And for that purpose, we've called in a dear teacher and mentor, and someone I look up to, a great personality, strong woman, who is a Krishna House alumni, Shyamala Kishori. Thank you so much for coming, Shyamala.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with everyone on this special day. Just a quick show of hands. Does anybody here or who here has heard the story of Nrisingadev before? Okay. What I plan to do today is share the story a bit about this great avatar of the divine. One avatar means who descends, right? In a particular form at a particular time for a particular reason. So God taking on a particular form for this story, this pastime. And so I'm just going to briefly share this story and not all the details, because that's available for you to read if you want to read it. We can direct you. That's in this great text, the Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto. So the whole story is in there. So if you do want to read further later, we can share how to get there, how to access that. So today's story, to set the scene, who here has seen Star Wars? Okay, some people? Yeah? Okay, most people here. I heard from a friend of mine who is in touch with someone who is a friend with one of the directors of Star Wars, that the team who came up with some of the dramas for Star Wars also had read things from the Bhagavatam, stories from the Bhagavatam. And so you can see there's kind of an influence in the Star Wars series. And I'm not an expert on Star Wars. It's not my area. But I just thought that was a fascinating little thing to share, that they got some inspiration from this text, the Bhagavatam. So the story I'm going to share today is from that great literature, the Bhagavatam. And the personality that we're going to discuss, so there's three main characters in the story. The incarnation of God is Nrisingadev. And another way to describe him is as the divine protector. So in this pastime, he came down as the divine protector of a great devotee of his. So then we have two other characters, the tyrant father. His name was Hiranyakashipu, which in Sanskrit translates into English as gold cushion. So Hiranya is gold. Kashipu is like pillow or cushions. So his name literally means gold cushions. He was very materialistically oriented. So his name matched his mood and his desire. And then he had a son whose name was Prahlad. And Prahlad, very much unlike his father, was like the opposite of his father, a total spiritually oriented person. And so he had these diametrically opposed characters, the father and the son, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. So this story is quite interesting because it demonstrates how. So as I go through some of the details, I want to invite you to notice the character of these opposing this father and son who are very opposite in nature. One is the, you could say, the epitome of materialism, of anti-spirituality, totally opposed to anything divine, wants to be the controller, wants to be God, basically, right? Hiranyakashipu. Then we have his young son, who in this pastime is 5 years old. And he's the epitome of, so the example of a transcendental being who is completely devoted and is not trying to control, but is rather turning to God in service and wanting to be us of service to a higher power. So it's very interesting to notice their character. And so I invite you to, as I go through, and I'll point out some things about their characters to reflect on. And we can reflect on in our own life where we have certain aspects of this one personality, perhaps, because we all have a mix of things within us, right? We have our good sides, you could say, our tendencies to be friendly and so on. And we have the sides of us that we feel like, oh, I could work on that. You know, it's, maybe I have some jealousy or have some anger or whatever. So let's just go through and share some of this story. So this story takes place in, you could say, a long, long distant time in a faraway place. And again, like we said, the Bhagavatam is discussing many incredible stories that are also multidimensional. So it takes into account other dimensions. So just keep that in mind. It's a very amazing pastime. And there's a father who, Hiranyakashipu, who wanted to become very powerful. And this is something that's also not uncommon in this world. Like we tend to see that a lot, either within ourselves or in people who are wanting to, in general, in society, we all want to have some sense of power, right? Some sense of control over our lives. So he was just the epitome of that. And what he did is he used yoga, techniques of yoga meditation, to access these deep powers. So he got blessings from a demigod to sort of become almost immortal through his power of yoga, through his process of yoga. He stood for years and years until practically his entire body was emaciated and gone, and he was just living off of the force of his prana, his life energy, right? So yoga is all about accessing your inner force, right? And so he did that to an extreme. And again, this is millennia ago. So he had that yogic ability to an extreme that it's not possible today. So he got it. Just to sum up very quickly, he got these blessings through that process that made him practically invincible. And he became this great tyrant, a terrorist, you could say, like the ultimate terrorist. And he wanted to control not just a government, not just like Gainesville, not just Florida, not America, but the whole world, not even the world. He wanted to control the entire universe. He was obsessed with power. And it's an interesting thing to note that when we do something, when we take whatever we want to do in this life, like say we want to get a degree, or we want to be a powerful athlete, it takes some level of austerity, some penance, something that's difficult, right, to get that. So he went through that difficult process in order to get this power, but he used it in a negative way. So he could have used that power to channel his energy and strength that he developed through that process of yoga to help others and to become a much better person. But he chose to go the other way. So it's something to keep in mind for our lives. Like, how do we choose to use our power? And he was a control freak, real, real control freak. So he had a son, and his son, due to various circumstances, he actually, at one point when he was in the womb as a little unborn child, had heard from a great saint about the qualities of the Supreme Person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he developed from within the womb a desire to become a spiritual person. And actually, research shows that even unborn children can they can be affected by the sounds that they hear through the womb. So that's interesting. So he had that desire awakened by being in the company of saints, because his mother spent some time in an ashram. So then anyway, he was born and he became very interested in God realization and spiritual life. So here is the father, who is like this controlling person, with a son who is completely going the opposite direction, who is wanting to take shelter of a higher being, whereas the father wants to be the high being, right? He wants to be the most powerful. So there was this huge tension between them. So one day the father says to his son, "What did you learn in school?" And the boy is 5 years old. Prahlad says, "I learned," and he's speaking from his inner wisdom, like the things he had learned from his teacher while he was in the womb. And he basically summed up bhakti yoga, what we practice, like what we talk about in these Taco Tuesdays, the process of bhakti yoga, which is to link with the divine in this beautiful, loving, personal relationship and to deeply satisfy the real self, not just the body, right? So he explained that to his father. So this makes a really good movie because the drama is so big, right? The father is shocked, like how his son got this kind of belief system of life. And he felt very betrayed, naturally. And Prahlad is telling his father, actually, you would be happy if you let go of this dichotomy of friends and enemies and realize that we're all we're all brothers and sisters in service to the divine person. So he's kind of telling his father some tips on how to improve his life. And his father really didn't like that. So his father, the whole story went that his father became so angry with, so threatened, like emotionally threatened by his son, that he ended up really abusing him in various ways. And there's descriptions of that. Like, he was a very powerful leader, king, right? So he had all kinds of ways to torture and abuse people. So he did that with his son. And yet his son, this young boy, was undisturbed throughout all of these situations. Like they sent an elephant after him and was trying to stamp on him. And he wasn't affected physically or emotionally or anyway. He was completely internal in his process of spiritual life. So he was not able to be hurt. Actually, when I was a child, I grew up in this bhakti yoga tradition. And I remember I was 9 years old and I played the part of Prahlad, the young son, in a drama once. And there was a scene where I was sitting down and they had these other children playing you could say like demonic people with little swords and things, like circumambulating me and singing chants, like, "We're going to kill you." And it was very dramatic. So it culminated in his father basically asking him, "Where do you get your strength? I don't understand how you're surviving all these things, the poison, he threw him off a cliff, so on, all these things." And Prahlad, very humbly and with depth of realization, realizing that his father is also another part and parcel of the divine, he was still loving towards his father. And he said, "Father, I'm getting my power the same place that you're getting your power." And basically he said, "You know, I'm getting it from God." And his father said, "Where is God? I don't see him." Like, you know, he was really challenged by that. And then Prahlad said, "Oh, he's everywhere." So then his father said, "Well, if he's everywhere, he must be in his pillar here." And there's a pillar, right? A column in the palace. And Prahlad said, "Yes, of course, he's everywhere. So he's there as well." And his father was so angry that he picked up a club, like one of his weapons, and smashed it into the pillar. And so this avatar of God, this amazing, powerful incarnation that we're celebrating today, came to protect this young boy, Prahlad, from his tyrant father. And he jumped out of the pillar, this beautiful, magnificent form. He was actually half man, half lion. And there's a whole story behind that, why he came in that form. And basically, there's a huge fight that occurred took the father across his lap and performed, maybe you could say, the first GI dissection. Ripped him apart with his claws, because he had the claws of a lion. So he had the face and claws of a lion and the body of a man. So this very beautiful form came to protect Prahlad. And in some sense, he was God in his angry form, right? So he was like the epitome of what God would look like when he's angry. But angry because someone was hurting his great, wonderful, loved, beloved devotee. So that's the story in a nutshell. And when Prahlad, I just want to mention that when Nrisingadev came out of the pillar, there were two reactions. One was from the father, who became terrified at this form, right? He was like, oh my goodness, this very frightening form of Nrisingadev came out. So for him, that form was frightening and brought up fear within his heart. Yet Prahlad saw the very same form and was completely undisturbed, but was actually feeling warmth and love and excitement in his heart to see his beloved Lord. So this demonstrates that the same, like God can appear in a way that affects people according to what they need to see and how they need to. He's able to be personal so that each person, he reciprocates with how each person sees him, right? And he reciprocates accordingly. So now let's take a look at Prahlad's character and reflecting in our lives, like some of the qualities that he had. One is that unlike his father, who was very proud of his position and wanting to dominate and lord it over, Prahlad was humble. And there's this amazing dichotomy between those who feel great in this world, who just think, I am so great, right? And they're so full of themselves, like his father was, so conceited, so narcissistic, so full of thinking, I'm the best being. And if people just knew more about me, if they just could see how special I am, that is actually the lowest position, because it leaves you very vulnerable. You have no shelter. And then we see, on the other hand, Prahlad, who was taking this humble position of being, oh, I'm just a servant of God, ended up showing this amazing power because he had backing him up the power of the Lord behind him. So even though he felt small, he was connected to this great power, which made him more powerful than his father. So humility is essential for spiritual life. And even the Bible says that, right? Like the meek and humble will inherit the earth. So Prahlad Maharaj demonstrated that. He also demonstrated compassion. And when his father, like throughout the whole story, he was still kind to his father, despite what his father was trying to do to him. Because he saw beyond the externals, he saw that, oh, my father is currently covered by these conditionings that make him act this way. But he saw beyond that he's actually also a spirit soul, a part of the divine, and deserves that compassion. At the very end of the pastime of the story, when Nrisingadev asks Prahlad, what can I do for you? He gives him some benedictions. And Prahlad says, if you could just, I don't want anything for myself, but if you could just bless my father and give him your kindness. And, you know, so even in that moment, he was able to feel compassion to his father, despite what his father had done. So that's incredible. And it's not something that most of us are going to be able to repeat, but it's a wonderful thing to inch towards, right? So this level of magnanimity in our interactions. And then the third character that I just want to share is the difference, this again, the dichotomy. So his father was a controlling person. And if I think about my life, like the times that I resonate with that at times, where I forget that, oh, there's a higher power in control of things, and I tend to want to take on that role, being the controller, right? And it tends to not go very well. I'm sure some of you can relate to that, that there's so many things in life we can't control, and yet we make the attempt to, and the greatest source of suffering, and even the Buddhists say this, the greatest source of suffering is to fight against what is to think that we can change something that we can't change, to try and then like be frustrated that something's happening that we can't change. So his father, Hiranyakashipu, was just filled with anger because things weren't going the way he wanted them to go. He had this son who was just messing up his plans. On the other hand, Prahlad demonstrated this quality of tolerance and of surrender to a higher divine person who is protecting him. And sort of a surrender, sort of an acceptance to what was happening. So not resisting what life was bringing him, but accepting what was happening. And he was, throughout the whole story, kind of just peaceful because he wasn't trying to fight against what was going on. He was just accepting it and moment by moment living it. And we see that in our lives as well, that when we, in a small way, when we're able to go, okay, I broke my leg. Oh, well, I can't change that. That's what happened. Now I'm just going to accept it and notice what the good things, or I'm going to try to do the best I can with my broken leg and so on. Then there's a sense of peace that happens and we can let go of that frustration. And finally, I just want to share with you a little bit about this idea of a divine protector. So Nrisingadeva in this story is taking that role. So in this world, fear is just such a common denominator. Raise your hand if fear is something that you've experienced. Okay, so I think it's a universal feeling, obviously, from our birth to now. We've all been through fearful situations. And it can vary, you know, depending on our mental state. Some people struggle with it more than others. But it's just a pervasive thing in this world. And actually, the Sanskrit name for the spiritual world, which is beyond this material creation, is Vaikuntha, which means free of anxiety. So a world that's free of this fear. But we're all in this world where it's a place of fear. And it's fearful because we identify with a temporary body that is not going to last, that's fragile, that, you know, we can't control things, we feel very helpless often, and so on, right? So we're in that situation. And this time factor is like looming over us. When we're in our early 20s, I remember when I was, young teenager, early 20s, I have a long life and so on, right? I didn't think about aging or about death much. But as time moves on, I think for all of us that we start realizing, oh, wow, time's flying by. Like years have just gone, like this whole year of COVID just flew by, right? Like, I mean, in a sense, like in one sense, it was felt long. But what I mean to say is just like years go by and we start to realize I can't stop time. It's just going to go no matter what. So that's a source of fear as well. So we can ask ourselves, in this world of fear where I'm identifying with this body and I can't control anything, things are just happening to me externally, even internally with my body. I'm aging, even though I don't want to. Where am I turning to for shelter? What am I looking to for shelter in this situation? Really acknowledging my accepting my fragile situation in this life. It just takes one moment of distraction on your cell phone to slam your car into another car and that's it, right? It's very, we're like, there's this poem in the Vedic text. There's this description of life being as fragile as a drop of water on a lotus petal. So for those of you who've seen a lotus petal, it's kind of waxy and the drop is on there. So you can just imagine it takes a little bit of a little tip and it'll slide off. Another way to think about it is we're walking across like a Grand Canyon, but on a tightrope. That's kind of our situation in this world. It could any time it could fall off, but we think, oh, I got it all together. I got, you know, I'm in control of my life. I have it all. So when we ask ourselves, where are we turning to for shelter? We can think of this story, how turning to the divine person who is not of this world, who is able to lift us out of this world, and who is able to remind us that we are eternal beings, not these bodies, that's a real source of shelter, right? So that's what Prahlad did. He turned to the divine person, the Lord within his heart, turned to him for shelter, knowing that when the soul turns to the, you could say, the super soul, right, the ultimate soul for shelter, then we're at our best in that moment. We're the most contented, we're the most free of fear. And fear comes when we forget that, and we get again entangled in this world. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that says, when someone dies, they're sure to be born again. And when someone's born, they're sure to die again. So it's like the cycle of birth and death in this world. And it's just, unless we have a way out, it's just going to continue, right? This fear and this attachment and loss and distress. So the Lord descends in these avatars, different times, different places, and different forms, with so many different names. Different religions talk about God in different forms. He comes in so many ways, even sometimes in female forms, right? It's male and female forms. And just to help us to remember our real position, that we're so much more than just this skin and bones that we identify so much with, that we're eternal beings that are actually full of knowledge, full of bliss, and our real happiness is found in our eternal connection with that divine person. So that's the kind of the moral of the story, and what we can, there's several here. I want to add something here, that in the Bhagavad Gita, actually, Krishna tells Arjuna that he reciprocates according to our level of, or our efforts, our level of devotion, our endeavors. Accordingly, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says he reciprocates. And so when he appeared in this ferocious form, he was reciprocating with Prahlad's, to Prahlad, he was not scary at all, right? He was reciprocating with being the savior of Prahlad, and Prahlad felt his divine protection. And at the same time, he was reciprocating with Hiranyakashipu, in the sense that Hiranyakashipu was full of anger towards the Lord. And so the Lord appeared in a very angry form. And so it was just a natural combat that occurred there. And one other thing is, also from the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears both to protect the pious and at the same time to remove these miscreants. That's the term, that's kind of an old term, to means like a bad person, person who does, I looked it up, it said something
rascal,
like, yeah, illegal things. Anyway, so somebody's a tyrant, basically. So in the same one motion, that same one pastime, the Lord can appear in a way that protects those who want that protection, and who can remove those who are disturbing everyone else. But by removing them, he actually also blesses them. So it's never, he blesses everyone regardless of whether they're a good person, bad person, doesn't matter. By being, even in this story, it's described that Hiranyakashipu was killed, right, by Nrisingadev. But by being killed by Nrisingadev, he actually attains liberation. So because he was purified by the nails of the Lord. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that even in the seemingly like intense depiction of God here, the outcome was one of happiness for everyone. So that's just important to remember. I think it's very interesting how we can take lessons from such a dramatic story. I mean, it feels like, wow, these are extreme situations and extreme characters as well, like on opposite ends of the spectrum of the father and son here. But within it, we can still take some things from our life and see that, oh yeah, sometimes I act like that as well. Like I look for my own gratification at the expense of others. Like, when do I act like Hiranyakashipu, or when do I act like Prahlad and offer some compassion and things like that? So,
Shama, I wanted to know how you develop these good qualities. Like, what does it take for somebody to be more like Prahlad, be more tolerant?
Well, there are different answers to, you know, there are different ways that that can happen. So sometimes that happens just with life crushing us down. Like we see in the story of Hiranyakashipu, he didn't learn through any kind of self-reflection, or, you know, like he just had to kind of be put in his place for a bit until he learned, maybe in his next life or something. But hopefully when we're sincere, introspective beings, like if we move through life with some introspection and think, oh, how am I responding to things? How am I impacting others? Like just taking that time to really be self-aware, and asking others for feedback. Like, how am I doing? Like, what do you see in me that I could improve on? Like being open for self-improvement of becoming a better person.
I like what you said, Shyamala, in the beginning, that those who are resting solely on their own power are actually in the lowest position. And those who are, you know, themselves and taking guidance and shelter and help from others, they're in a much stronger position because it's not just their own strength or intelligence.
Yeah.
That's an important point to reflect on, I think.
There are a lot of, you could say, a lot of ironies in spiritual life where things that we think are going to be sources of happiness are not, and the opposite is true. You know, so that's an example of one of those. And another one would be that there's this expression that the way up is the way down, so that in spiritual life, so like if we're materialistically oriented, then we want to keep pushing ourselves up, up, up the social ladder, so to speak, get more and more and more, try to get to the top. But the spiritually oriented person is more focused on serving. So I don't care how far down the totem pole I am, so to speak, that the happiness I get is from the number of people I serve. So you could even, so when you see these great personalities like Prahlad and Jesus Christ and so many great personalities, that they're of service to others. They're not trying to push themselves to the top. So it's kind of this, it goes against everything we learn in society about how we're going to be happy if we have more prestige, more honor, more stuff. Like a transcendental irony.
Okay, well, I think that brings us to the end of our time limit here. Shyamala, would you like to give some closing remarks?
Well, there's that Native American saying about there's two dogs in the heart, right? The one of them's considered the bad dog, one's considered the good dog. And the question is, which one are you going to feed? And so one lesson we can take from this story is reflecting on, which one am I feeding? Am I feeding the qualities of Hiranyakashipu in my heart? Am I feeding the qualities of Prahlad in my heart? And then who am I turning to for shelter? And who's worthy of that? Who is the real source of shelter that can really solve my problem? So asking that question and letting that be the guiding question in our life is very helpful. So thank you all. I really enjoyed being here with all of you again. And yeah, thanks for having me.